We know that there is some practice of meditation which calls yoga pit meditation, and the question is how devotees should practice this meditation during the day according to three yoga pits which
first
yes and yeah, what the right consciousness and how devotees should do this during the day, and maybe that's all.
After
you're talking about yoga pit dhyan.
Yes.
Well, first let's say it's called mantra upasana. So type of worship upasana means worship, where you do some worship side by side with the diksha mantras you receive from guru. Not all gurus give the yoga pit dhyan along with their mantra diksha. It's not necessary. The main thing is the mantras, Gopal mantra, Kam Gayatri. There's a diksha mantra. A Vaishnava diksha mantra is Gopal mantra, Kling Krishnaya Govindaya. That's considered the mantra to transmit the parampara. That's considered a Vaishnava diksha mantra, Gopal mantra. I know some member in my family at Vaita Parivar, some gurus, they give the mantra but they don't give yoga pit dhyan. And my particular guru in Vaita Parivar, he gave mantra diksha and then he instructed me to do yoga pit dhyan along with mantra diksha, along with chanting of the mantras. It was a process. And the guru will explain it individually to the disciple at the time of diksha. If he requires or he asks the disciple to do yoga pit dhyan. Anantadas Pandit Sri Anantadasri of Radhakund, he generally prescribes yoga pit dhyan along with his giving of diksha mantras to the qualified disciple. So what it actually is you're meditating. It depends on the instructions of the guru, where, how many times. Generally, diksha mantras are chanted once in a day. It's called anik. Anik means daily. Anik, A-H-N-I-K-A. So diksha, if someone has Brahmin diksha, he's born in a Brahmin family and he receives upanayana sanskara, and what we call the Upavita Brahman thread, in this kind. And then he gets the Brahma Gayatri. The Brahma Gayatri is Om Bhur Bhuvasva Tat Savitur. That's to be given to Brahmins. And then they are told by their gurus at the time of Brahman Diksha, the Brahman, born Brahmins who receive Diksha, they're told to do Tri Sandhyam Vandanam. They should worship the three junctures of the day, sunrise, noon, and sunset, by chanting the Brahma Gayatri on their Brahman thread, facing, I believe it's east in the morning, east in the noon, and north in the evening time. So the mantras are chanted three times. And there are some groups that they require their disciples to chant the mantras three times a day. But the practice of chanting three times a day is derived basically from the concept of Tri Sandhya. Sandhya means juncture. Juncture. It evolves from the concept of Tri Sandhya Vandanam, which is a practice specifically done by born Brahmins that receive Brahman Diksha Upanayanam. And however, some groups, they do that. But for the traditional Parivars in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, all their disciples are asked to chant their Diksha mantras once, usually in the morning, sometime between 4 a.m. and 12 noon at last. And they first have to bathe, wear clean, everything all clean cloth, and sit on clean asana and do achvan before eating or anything. So they're fully clean, clean cloth, clean asana, belly is empty. Then they chant their Diksha mantras. But before, if they're instructed by the guru, it's a process of meditation instructed by the guru. It's not that you get a book and read it and do it, because it varies from guru to guru. The principle is the meditating mentally. Basically, what yoga dhyan is, it's a puja, a mental puja and worship of the associates of Lord Gauranga in Navadvip, the Nitya Parikars, eternal associates, and the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, some very key players that are members of the Yogapit. So then, before you chant the Diksha mantras, it usually goes like this. First you do Yogapit Dhyan, and then Yogapit Puja, meditating obviously in the mind, and then you do the Puja in the mind, and to the Panchatattva, then all the Ashtamahants, and then the Ashta Goswamis and Nasta Kavirajas, and the Digdwaras, the gatekeepers, and then the members of your parampara, your lineage, guru, pranali. And then after you finish that mental puja, which is the details are given by guru, then you chant your Navadvip Dhyan mantras, which would be the Guru Mantra, Guru Gayatri, Panchatattva Mantras and Gayatris, basically. And then from there, while you're meditating, then you're meditating on your Gaur Sarup, which is your present Sadaka Roop. You're thinking that I'm there. It's a basic generic meditation that's given in Dhyan Chandra's Padati. Think of yourself as a Kaishur Brahman, young Brahman boy, 12, 13 years old, with a golden complexion and a beautiful white Brahman thread, and some white dhoti and white gamsha with little gold embroidery on the edges. And you have a very beautiful, contented face, and you're fully dedicated to the service of Guru and Gauranga, and you're absorbed in your bhajan and feeling very blissful. There's and every sadhaka meditates on that as a sadhaka roop, basically, before he does his Navadvip dhyan and puja, then chanting of the Navadvip mantras, Diksha mantras, you could say. Then after that, then he goes to Yogapit, and the detail will be given by Guru, which Yogapit. There's a Yogapit in the morning in Guptakund in Vrindavan, and the afternoon in Radhakund and Alitas Kunj, and evening time in Vamshivat, Gopishwar, Mahadev, and Govindastali. That's the Mahayoga Pit. It's generally described in the Puranas, Padma Puran, and other places in our Shastras. It describes the meeting place of Radha and Krishna. Yoga Pit. Yoga means coming together, joining. Pit means place, fixed place. It's a fixed place. Yogapit is a fixed place where the Radha and Krishna or Gauranga, Panchatattva, and all their intimate associates and companions meet together. It's actually a real place. There's a mandir there, Yogapit mandir. And they sit in there, there's some artik of Radha and Krishna or Gauranga, teen prabhus, Nitai Gaur, Sitanath. That's done. So generally the Yogapit meditation, because it's done in the morning, then in Navadvip, the morning Yogapit is in Mahaprabhu's house, not Mahaprabhu's house exactly, but Mahaprabhu's estate, very vast and large property. And he has the Narayana Mandir there, and there's a separate Mandir called the Yogapith Mandir, which is elaborately described in different shastras. There are very specific details, but then individual gurus may give a very general way. Sometimes the gurus say, just think of Navadvip Mandal, and think in the very center of Navadvip is the Yogapith of Mahaprabhu, surrounded on all sides by the Ganga, and it rises like the back of a turtle, and it's a beautiful golden mandir, and four gates, and the different ideas. So then, Vrindavan is usually the Mahayogapith one thinks of, and then he meditates there. And then in Vrindavan, unlike Navadvip, where he's in his form as a Kaishur Brahman, associate and companion of Lord Gauranga, there in Krishna Lila, he's in a Manjari form. He meditates on the specific form of a Manjari that's given to him by his guru. So generally, if the guru gives Yogapith meditation, it would be along with the Siddha Pranali, because you have to meditate on your Gaura Sarup in a general way, and Navadvip, Dhyan, and then in Vrindavan Dhyan, you have to meditate specifically on your individual Siddha Sarup, which is revealed by Guru and Guru Parampara and Samasti Guru Sri Krishna to the Diksha Guru, and then given to the qualified, worthy disciple. So this is the process of Yogapith Dhyan, which is called Mantra Upasana. Mantra Upasana means specifically this: worship done alongside of chanting your Diksha mantras. That is the definition of Mantra Upasana. Mantra means Diksha mantras, and Upasana means worshipping the mantras, which means Yogapith worship of the Artik and Bhoga and different descriptions, different gurus, of the Parishads. That's it.